And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That section of scripture that Bracken read has got so much stuff in there, so powerful. But if you read back through what he read, there's a couple of things that are represent a commonality among every believer. When he talks about, and I have other sheep not of this fold, he's talking about Gentiles. And so there's a place in here where he's talking about, no matter where you've come from, no matter where you've been, and in that context, Jew or Gentile, there's a couple of things that are true about you that should be common among every believer. One of them is, the real famous scripture, when he says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I came that they, plural, might have life and have it more abundantly. I think sometimes in the Christian world that we live in, when there's such access to printed material and there's such access to social media, that we have the capacity to read a bunch. There's an interesting paradox about readers, and I'm a reader, but Ecclesiastes warns about reading too many books. The point being that I want to make is that we often read about other Christians' experiences. We often read what other Christians write about what they've experienced. And the tendency is, for some of us, is to disqualify ourselves because it seems like the process that they had to go through to get there becomes the subject of the book instead of the one who was there that they got. You with me? The Lord orders our steps. And so every person's adventure in the Lord is going to look somewhat different. The conclusion should be the same, and the conclusion is, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That's God's common will for every single Christian. It's not his will for a select few. And so when we read books about other believers who've experienced some kind of extraordinary anointing or some very impactful life, that we don't compare ourselves to them and think, well, I could never be like them. I could never fast 1,000 days a week just to get there. The point is, Jesus came that you, each of you, might have life and have it more abundantly. He's already provided that for you. The other thing that he says very clearly that makes commonality is that his sheep, whether they're of this fold, the Jewish fold, Gentile fold, wherever you came from, his sheep can hear his voice. And so you have the capacity to hear his voice, to take the steps he tells you to take. If he calls you to fast 3 days a week, fast 3 days a week. But don't fast 3 days a week because somebody else fasts 3 days a week. Fast 3 days a week because God told you to fast 3 days a week. Or if God doesn't tell you to fast at all, don't fast at all. Or if God tells you to pray 5 hours a day, pray 5 hours a day. But likely God's not going to tell you that. And so if you only read books by people who pray 5 hours a day, you might as well quit your job, because that's all you're going to be able to do, or quit your marriage. You can hear his voice. It is his will that each one of us experience the life and life more abundant that Jesus came to give us. If you're not experiencing that, it's the thief. He's come to kill, steal, and to destroy. But if you're not there, experiencing the life and life more abundant he's come to give us, And it requires his presence. That's why I didn't say he threw it to us out of heaven. He came that we might have life. It's all found in him. But if you're not there, then ask him to show you. I remember years ago, those of you who have heard my testimony enough, that when I first started walking with the Lord and I was struggling with mental illness, clinical depression and clinical anxiety, I ran across this verse. This was one of the life-changing verses for me. Because I kept begging God to do something with me, change the way I was, to set me free. And I came across this verse, and he said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and to destroy. And I thought, okay, if you came that I might have life and life more abundantly, and I'm not experiencing it, it can't be your fault. It's something I'm not getting or something that I'm doing that's preventing. So, Lord, speak to me and show me what needs to go and what I need to know. And he did. Over a period of months, he used other people. He used some books. He used some tapes. He used some conversations. But he spoke to me. Now, here's the other issue. In our charismatic world, I sometimes will hear people say, God just didn't really speak to me. No. What you're saying is that you didn't wake up in the middle of the night, spin around in circles, hovering over your bed, have some angelic experience, and then you can tell that story. Where you got electrocuted one day on the floor, bounced around every place. You didn't go to Toronto, bark like a dog, laugh. But nothing's wrong with that. You understand me? But I hate to tell you this, is that the common experience for most believers isn't that. But you do hear his voice. And in the charismatic world, sometimes we get robbed of the fact of believing that because we don't experience it with our hair standing on the back of our head. Have you ever read anything in Scripture and it said, you heard his voice? Have you ever heard a sermon and it spoke to you? You heard his voice. You ever have a thought and it led you into things that you knew were God-blessing? Then you heard his voice. Every one of us hear his voice. But charismatics have made it so flipping hard. See, I hear charismatics say a lot, because I am one, I've been one for about 40 years. Charismatics will say, what was so powerful for me is that I learned when I became a charismatic, I could hear God's voice. Every evangelical I know who tries to walk with the Lord believes they can hear God's voice. Before I came in charismatic, God spoke to me all the time. Now, I didn't understand about him speaking to me prophetically or speaking to me in dreams. You know, Numbers calls that dark sayings. Not dark and bad, as in bad, but that's odd ways that God speaks to you, though he speaks. It doesn't mean he doesn't speak it very often. God speaks most of the things we see that led in the early in Joseph and Mary's life was God spoke to them in dreams. Angels came to them. I understand all that. But I heard God's voice all the time. God spoke to me through his word. God spoke to me reading books. God spoke to me listening to the tapes. God spoke to me through other people. God spoke to me at conferences. When I became a charismatic, my understanding of how God spoke expanded. Prophecies and dreams and visions and words of knowledge and all that. I'm thankful for all that. But if that's not necessarily what you get, a lot of prophetic things yourself or ecstatic experiences, don't worry about it. Just hold fast to the head and grow growth from God, Colossians says. But God's speaking to you. You know how to hear God's voice. And so you can hear him. If you get thrown into prison by some corrupt government and you're isolated and there's not one person there to give you a word, and you don't even have a Bible, God will speak to you because that's what you're wired to hear. And he will speak to you about how in that situation to know life and the life more abundant that Jesus Christ has come and to give that away. Okay? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, anybody out there who interpreted what I said as saying, well, Bishop diminished prophecies and dreams and visions, then you don't know me very well. And God speaks that way all the time. I give prophetic words every day of my life, pretty much.